And we have been learning so much about communities as part of NPR's Cities Project.
Becoming a world-class city.
Engaging the neighborhood deeply.
Sense of ownership that this is our community.
It's a very convivial place.
As we've been reminded recently, communities in this country can sometimes be forced to acknowledge and confront racial tensions. We're visiting a place this morning that was ready to take on that conversation.
The Miller community in Austin, Texas, has won plaudits for neighborhood design. It's just a few years old, built to be walkable, energy efficient, and neighborly. Houses are close together and must have front porches. Residents say they feel close-knit.
But some Black residents in Miller say they have not felt very welcome. Here's NPR's John Burnett.
The racial incidents here in Austin's celebrated Miller Project quietly accumulated to the point where the community realized it had a problem. Lucky Berry, a Black Baptist minister, remembers the time 4 years ago when he and his wife were building their house at Miller. He was driving around checking out all the other new homes under construction.
And yeah, I was photographed and followed, and no one ever said anything to me directly or asked me anything, but I did notice people taking out their phones and taking pictures of my car. Another occasion, we had a neighbor who was an African-American come to our house, and as he walked up our stairs, someone asked if they could help him, suggesting that he might be lost in the wrong neighborhood.
There have been other incidents, too, but the one that prompted Miller to begin its conversation about race happened last November. A resident posted a notice on the neighborhood's private Facebook page for a free office chair that she set out in the alley. A neighbor, Yasmin Diallo Turk, saw it and told her husband, a Senegalese named Papa Diallo, to drive over and pick it up. Then she didn't like it, so he drove back and left the chair where he got it. According to Papa Diallo, the homeowner saw him, got scared, and then posted this message on the Facebook page.
African American, suspicious, came to my back alley. I called the police.
Yasmin is sitting in their living room remembering the exchange. She was still online when she saw the neighbor had called the cops, so Yasmin quickly posted her own message.
Well, that's my husband. I don't know what he did to make you think he was suspicious, but he was just getting the chair that you posted about.
The neighbor called off the police and apologized profusely, but Papa, an internet fraud analyst, was angry.
Obviously, people are afraid of, black males. I am not happy this happened to me, but I am happy that this incident triggered that conversation to happen.
The incidents taken together convinced some Miller residents they needed to open a frank dialogue about race. There have now been two neighborhood meetings. They invited me to the latest one in early December and asked that I not record it. So I interviewed some of the participants afterwards.
By and large, there was a collective sense of both outrage, shock, and honest, sincere sadness.
James Norte is sitting by the duck pond at the entrance to the development. He's a 28-year-old Black attorney in Austin who just stepped down as president of the Miller Neighborhood Association.
I think it was also a collective sense of ownership that this is our community, that we're not going to tolerate this, and we're going to do what we can to make this right.
A favorite meeting place is Cafe Miller. It serves barbecue and local craft beers. Stacy Vlasitz is white. He's a computer programmer at the University of Texas. Vlasitz and several other residents pointed out there's been a rash of car burglaries and home property thefts in Miller, and people are skittish.
You know, I think in a situation like that, it's not surprising to me that race would become a suspicious feature for people who are security conscious. Maybe this isn't about capital R racism, but this is something that we don't want to happen, and we want to figure out ways to prevent it and to change ourselves.
What's notable is that these racially charged episodes happened at Miller, Austin's 700-acre showplace of new urbanism and enlightened living. I mean, this is the place where the Friends of the Miller Prairie walk around and spray paint invasive plants bright orange so the landscape crew can pull them out.
Were you surprised that these incidents happened at Miller?
I was.
Jenny Simon is a white legal office manager who moved to Miller with her family last April. We're sitting at the cafe.
It did surprise me and sort of make me think, wow, this is under the surface for people where you wouldn't expect it.
Why do you say where you wouldn't expect it?
But yeah, because I think of it as being fairly well-educated people who are worried about current issues and politically involved and environmentally involved and
you hear that. You hear, you know, the Harvard professor who somebody called the cops when he was trying to get into his own house. You hear those stories, but I guess to have it happen in your own neighborhood is surprising.
At the neighborhood meeting, the one thing they agreed on is that, in general, white people need to get to know more black people in Austin. Daniel Colimon was there. He's a first-generation Haitian-American and a real estate investor. We chatted about it in his living room that overlooks one of the many parks in Miller.
Everyone always hypes us, oh, you moved to Austin. You didn't really move to Texas. Austin's the big liberal, you know, center of liberalism in Texas. What I'm finding is that people here haven't had the opportunity or the experience of interacting with people that aren't like them.
One reason is because there are fewer African Americans in Austin. A University of Texas report on U.S. Census data reveals that Austin is the only large, fast-growing city in America with a declining black population. From 2000 to 2010, Austin's general population jumped 20%, but the number of African Americans shrank 5%. Among the reasons given in the study, high property taxes, bad relations with police, and disparities in public schools. Again, former Neighborhood Association President James Norte.
Because race is such a barrier still in the 21st century, I think we need to be affirmative and intentional about overcoming that barrier. Push ourselves to get to know one another. And I think when we do that, we'll find we have vastly more in common than we have apart.
In some cities around the country, there have been protests in the streets over police treatment of African Americans and calls for a national dialogue on race. In Austin, in the new urbanist enclave of Miller, that conversation is already taking place quietly. In the Miller neighborhood, I'm John Burnett for the NPR Cities Project.